Again, so we're on Daf Kuf Mem Dalet today in Shabbat, and it's Lilui Nesham of Shlomo ben Meir. That's Yosef Rachmani's grandfather. Okay, Shlomo ben Meir. Okay, so if you remember yesterday, we spoke about the Machloket. It's a very difficult Daf today. It's not so many lines, but it happens to be a difficult Daf. I'll do the best I can with what I got. Okay, so so we mentioned the Machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about having beverages that ooze from fruits. In other words, on Shabbos, the juice oozed on its own from the fruit. So when can I drink that juice? So the Chachamim say, L'chora, in the Mishnah, that I can't drink it, because if I drink it, then there's a concern I'll come to squeeze the fruit. You know, I like it so much, I'm going to squeeze some more, and then I'll be over on a derisa level by squeezing the fruit. That'll be schita. And the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends. If I gather the fruit as eating fruit, I'm not going to squeeze it. But if I gather it as juicing fruit, then that's likely that I would squeeze it. Okay, that was the machloket, the way we understood it. So then the Gemara said that really the machloket isn't really quite as wide as we thought. The truth is, when it comes to zeitim vanavim, when it comes to olives and grapes are like super schita. Like everybody, you know, squeezes the olives and grapes. That's like you know, you see it squeeze. So olives and grapes, everybody, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim agree that that I can't have any of the juice, the oil or the grape juice that came out of it, because I'm likely to squeeze it. And even if I designated it originally for food, I'll say, you know what, I'm going with squeezing. This looks like the desirable thing to squeeze. Then we said, with Shar Peirot, or the other Peirot, the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says that if I gathered it for eating purposes, then I can have it. If I gathered it for juicing purposes, I can't have it. So they quoted in the art scroll, they said the Chazon Ish says that the Chachamim actually go further than that. And they, we'll see in the Gemara, they hold that I can actually squeeze the fruit, and that I could have the juice regardless of the reason that I had, you know, put the fruit away originally. And then the point of dispute, though, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is Tutim Rimonim, which is the mulberries and the pomegranates, which also have a juice that's squeezed. So there, the Chachamim say, we're going to default over to saying it's all prohibited. In other words, if the juice from the mulberries, the Tutim or the Rimonim on Shabbos, I can't drink it. And Rabbi Yehuda says it depends on why I gathered the mulberries and the tutim and the rimonim. If I gathered it for eating purposes, then I can have the juice. Otherwise, I can't. Okay, that's what we said. Now, we also said within the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda that if I designated it for juicing purposes, then I can't eat the juice. But even if it was stam, I didn't designate it. The default position is it's for juicing purposes. That's the yisod. Everybody got it? So the default, in other words, so I had gathered tutim and rimonim. I didn't define whether they're for juicing or eating purposes. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, if you don't define it, then it defaults over for juicing purposes. Okay? You good? What's up, Fern?
If you're in the habit of always using these particular fruit for eating purposes, is that defined enough? My custom and practice.
Yeah. So if that's what you generally do, and it sounds like in your mind you're thinking that I don't know, you didn't specifically have a thought in this situation, but you normally do it this way. So I don't know. Let me put this on the side. Let me just get through this again. I'm sorry. I'm not sure. Okay. Now, so the So now that's the default. So now the Gemara, this is from yesterday's daf on Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Now we're going up to today. So, but we went over this yesterday. So we quoted this Astira. We quoted the Mishnah Masechet Machshirin, and the Mishnah Masechet Machshirin said that I'm making this short, that when it comes to cow milk or animal milk, if you want the milk there, you want it to be, you know, milk, you want the milk to exist in the world, then it could be a machshir. In other words, and the Mishnah refers to it as you know, tamei. And but otherwise, if I didn't want it as a machshir, not. So the Chachamim, so there's machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva, whether all milk should be machshir or just the milk that I wanted it to be expressed. So the Chachamim on the third line on Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph 144a, the third line. So Amrulo, the Chamim say to Rabbi Akiva, Salizaitim Vanavim Yochihu. We're going to prove to you that there's a big difference between whether you know you want something or you don't want something, and we're going to prove it from Salizaitim Vanavim, baskets of olives and grapes. Shahamashkin Ayotzimihin Laratzon Tamein, that the mashkim, the juices that come out, like you want it, you're happy with it, those are Tamein, those are considered Machshirim. It's like you're cooking with fire then, that's a Machshir. He says, Shalol Ratzon Tohorim. If it's Shalol Ratzon, it's not a Machshir. That's the end of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, My love, the Ratzon Denichale, is it not, when it says the Ratzon, it means the person's happy with it. I'm happy with it. So then it's a Machshir. And Shalol Ratzon, Bistama. And we think the case of Shalol Ratzon, I don't want it, is I didn't specifically designate it one way or another. So here, I'm not specifically designating, and it's not considered to be a mashke, right? In other words, I'm not specifically designating the juice from the Zaytim Lenavim, but it's defaulting over that it's not a mashke, not a mashke, because a mashke would be one of the machshirim. All the machshirim are mashkim. And earlier, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda said, if I don't select anything, then we assume that I want it for mashke. You know, that's what I want the fruit for. So the Gemara now articulates this question. Uma zeitim v'anavim debnei schiteninu. Zeitim v'anavim, those are like the prime candidates for the schita category. Everybody is so left and right with the zeitim and the navim. He says, shalol ratzon v'lo klom. And notwithstanding that, if it's shalol ratzon, meaning I don't select an option, so then it's I take it that I don't want it as a mashke, even though like it's like most likely everybody wants it. But if I don't make a selection, it doesn't count. So tutim rimonim de la b'nei schita ninu. So tutim rimonim, they're not so people don't naturally do schita with that all the time. Lo kol shekein. So isn't it a kol shekein that if I don't select it, it's not a mashke? So that's the stira. So again, so Rabbi Yehuda said in yesterday's daf that if I don't make a selection, stam, then I default over that it's for mashke purposes with the fruit. It's for mashke purposes. Here, I see from the Mishnah Masechet Machshirin, the way we understand it, if I don't make a selection, it's not a mashke. That's the stira. Okay? Just one minute. Now, the Gemara says, lo, l'ratzon b'stam, l'ratzon d'gali yaday. So he says, that's not the Pshat in the Mishnah. L'ratzon, when it says l'ratzon, that's stama. In other words, when the Mishnah says l'ratzon, it means you didn't make a selection. Then it counts as a mashke. Shalol ratzon, and when the Mishnah says shalol ratzon, is the galia daite, then he reveals himself explicitly that he doesn't want it as a mashke. Da amar lo nichali. I don't want it as a mashke. So then that way we've resolved the ostensible stira. Now one more answer, and then we'll pause and we'll take some questions. The iboid ema, or else I could say, leave everything the way it was, and I could say, the way we said before, that I didn't make a selection, it does not count as a mashke, but it's still not a stira. He says, Shani sali zeitim vanavim came to the ibud kaimi mikara afkurim afkirluhu. In other words, the zeitim vanavim here, we're talking about in these baskets. The baskets, they don't contain the fluid that flows out. So here, the presumption is, I intend to be mafkir it. I don't intend it to be a mashke. In other words, we're talking about, in Rabbi Yehuda's case, it's like a sealed basket. So there he says the sealed baskets, so I didn't make a selection. So Mistama, I want it for Mashka. Here, where it's like going onto the garbage can, so when I put it there, I knew that was the case, that whether it was. So Mamela, there it's logical for us to say that the owner is not satisfied with it. That's the way that goes. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right. Let me go further. All right. Now we're three lines from the bottom on Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Ashkan Rabbi Yehuda Demodi L'Rabbanan B'Zeitim Vanavim. So the Gemara says, we brought the Braisa. We didn't quote the Braisa today, but remember Shmuel said that there was a narrow machloket, just tzutzim and rimonim, and that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim by Zeitim and Anavim, and the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda by Shar Peirot. So the Gemara says, Ashkan Rabbi Yehuda is one of the Rabbanim, Zeitim and Anavim. So in yesterday's Gemara, we quoted a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda explicitly agrees by Zeitim and Anavim, that it's for, you know, that the juice that oozes out is prohibited. Rabbanan Demodi Leilu Rabbi Yehuda B'Shar Peirot Menalan. Where do we see that the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda by Sha'ar Peirot, by other fruit? Now again, the Chazon Ish says that the Chachamim go more than the way Rabbi Yehuda was, the way Lechora was presented in the Braisa. The Chachamim hold, and we'll see in a minute, that actually B'Shar Peirot, that I'm allowed to squeeze the fruit, and that anything that oozes out is permissible. That's the way the Chazon Ish has it.
So how was it presented in the Braisa?
All right, we haven't done it yet. Let's just wait 1 minute. In the previous staff, it sounded
previous staff.
Yeah, it sounded like Pshuto. In other words, he's not learning.
Depends why you're buying it.
It sounded like what you're designating, right? That's what we said. Like, in other words, am I designating it for mashkim? Am I designating it for achila? But the way the Chazon Ish understands it, it doesn't sound that way. Okay, but just wait 1 minute. Let me get to cover it, and then I'll pause, okay? So the Gemara says, Menalan, Detani, we learn in the Braisa, Sochtin, and turn page, Sochtin, Bipkain, Uva Parishin, Uvuzradin, that one is permissible to squeeze the plums, the quinces, and the sorb apples on Shabbos, and not the pomegranates. Now, it means like this, that if I squeeze something, but it's not a beverage, so the malacha here is mefarik, extracting something. So I have a juice inside the fruit, and the fruit is ochel, and the juice is coming out, that's the malacha of mefarik, or mefarik is the told of dash. But if the beverage is not used for drinking, it's not a mashke, so the beverage is still an ochel. So therefore, the Tanna Mishnah says, "But gone in parishin of uzradin, these plums, quinces, and sorb apples, I could squeeze them. Of a low berimonim, but I can't squeeze the pomegranates." He says, "Vishalbeit menashe bar menachem, you soaked in berimonim." Now, during the week, the household of Menashe bar menachem would squeeze the rimonim. So, squeezing the rimonim for juice. So, therefore, that proves that the rimonim are in a different category, and they have juice. So the Gemara thinks that if, assuming this Braisa is according to the sheet of the Chachamim, so then the Chachamim, by Shar Peirot, we assume this is all the rest residue and remainder, they permit you to even squeeze the fruit because the other fruits are not used for juicing. They're used for eating. So if I could squeeze it out in Mefurash, I certainly can drink that which oozes from it. And oozing was to prevent, you know, harchak that I'll squeeze it, but they hold I can even squeeze the fruit. So if it's like the Chachamim, then we prove that they agree with Rabbi Yehuda even more than the way it sounded like in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, "Umay derabanan hi, dilma Rabbi Yehuda hi." So the Gemara says, "How do you know that the position represented in this brisa represents the Chachamim? Maybe it represents the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda." So the Gemara says, "V'tevei namid Rabbi Yehuda." So okay, naniach, let's say it's like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, we're still going to have a proof. Amar d'shamalei Rabbi Yehuda yatsu me'atzman. We only knew from the previous brises that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda permits you if the oozes out on its own. And it's not a fruit that's designated for squeezing, you know, for juicing, that I can eat it. He says, "Sochtin lechachil mishamadlei." We never heard that he says that I can actually squeeze a fruit, and that's what this brisa says. He says, "Elamayit lachlameimar, kevin labenes schitaninu afil lechachila." So what are you forced to say that even assuming this is like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, but since he permits you to be so hate the fruit, to squeeze the fruit, so then it sounds like to squeeze the fruit, so I could even squeeze it on Shabbos. So afilu tamer rabbanan came in labanei schitan inu afilu lachachila shmamina rabbanan he shmamina. The Gemara wants to say that this svara is like sort of like standing separate from the ideas we had before. This brisa is standing for the idea that some fruit are not made like for juicing. They're made just for eating. And mimela, squeezing it is not a problem. And once squeezing it is not a problem, then eating, consuming the juices that ooze from it is also not a problem, even according to the Chachamim. All right, so again, let me just repeat. So the way the Gemara seems to have gone now is like by Shar Peirot, we think by other fruits, so other fruits are not in the getter, it doesn't sound like where you'd be sochated for juice, in other words, for beverage. You know, you might sochate it, even if you sochate it, you know, for the content, but it's food. So Mela, I have a complete heter to squeeze those fruits. If I have a complete heter to squeeze those fruits, I certainly don't have a problem in having the juices that oozed out from the fruits, because even if I would come to squeeze the fruits, it's no harm, no foul. All right, good? Everybody good?
How does this prove what Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda?
Yeah, so it's really saying by Sha'ar Peirot, by other Peirot, they're on the same page. So the Gemara is saying by Sha'ar Peirot, it's not Shayach, the idea of Shechita. That's what the Gemara is saying. If Shechita isn't Shayach, then there's no Din Drabanan not to have the ooze juice. That's Lahore where we're headed. All right. Now, let's see further. All right. Okay, now the Gemara says on 9:10, everybody with me? So, Shalbeit Menashe Bar Menachem, Yusochtin B'Rimonim. In the household of Menashe Bar Menachem, they would do schita on Rimonim, pomegranates, meaning that it was a juice. So he says, it means during the week they would squeeze it. So, Mela, on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to squeeze it. Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha Kishel Beit Menashe Bar Menachem. So Rav Nachman says, the Halacha follows the household of Menashe Bar Menachem, meaning that the juice from the Rimonim is considered a juice, and Melech can't squeeze the Rimonim on Shabbos. So Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, Menashe Ben Menachem Tanahu, is this Menashe Menachem, is he a Tana? In other words, like, what do you mean the Halacha is like him? He was just saying the household, that they would squeeze the fruit. But is he a Tana that you're quoting him? He says, "V'chitayim a halacha ki haytana d'savrloch shel Menashe ben Menachem." So you say the halacha follows the Tana that holds like the sheet of this Menashe ben Menachem. Veshum d'savr b'kim Menashe ben Menachem halacha kamoto, because he holds like Menashe ben Menachem, the halacha is like him. In other words, the Gemara figures that it's just one person squeezes these pomegranates. So because I found one person that squeezes the pomegranates for juice, so does that mean that that which comes from the pomegranates is juice and I can't squeeze the pomegranates on Shabbos? Menashe ben Menachem havi ruba da alma? Is Menashe ben Menachem, is he the rov da olam, most of the world? So the Gemara says, I could say that is the case, meaning can one family be koveya for the whole world? So the Gemara thinks yes. So the Gemara says that non, because I learned in the Mishnah, and this Mishnah is Masechet Kilayim, Hamakayim Kotzim Bekerem. If a person, he sustains thorns in the kerem. In the kerem, I'm prohibited from planting other vegetables in the kerem. If I plant another vegetable in the kerem, the grapes become prohibited. So let's say the person raises thorns in the kerem. So the Gemara says, Reb Lazar Omer Kidesh. Reb Lazar says the fruits of the vine are prohibited, because I did do kilei hakerem. V'chachamim omrim ein mekadesh al davar shekmo mekaymin. Chachamim say that it's only prohibited something that a similar item that I would normally sustain it there. In other words, if I'm like, I have my own crazy ideas. In other words, it has to be something that people would normally keep. So thorns is not something people normally grow. He says, "Va'am Reb Chanina, my tamid, it should be Reb Lazar. What's the reason for Reb Lazar who says kidesh? Like you're raising thorns there. Like, so where did this come from? That's a vegetable. Shekin Baravia Mekamian Kotzei Sadot LeGamalayim. Because in Arabia, there they raise the thorns for their camels. So I don't know about the camels, what they eat and things like that. But apparently, the thorns are a good camel food, and they raise it there. So even though Arabia is like one region of the world, that region is going to be koveh universally for the world. So since they raise the thorns there, that's good for the rest of the world, according to the Tana Reb Lazar. So just like there, it's good for the rest of the world, so too we think that this household of Beit Menashe Bar Menachem is also koveh for the world, that if you squeeze the pomegranate, you squeeze some juice out of it. So the Gemara says, me the Iria. He says, how can you compare the two? Da Ravya Atra. Arabia is a whole region. You say the whole region they do that. He says, "Hacha batladato esel kol adam." Here, this person, he's got his mishug idea. He's like, you know, squeezing the pomegranate, but apparently it doesn't sound like people were doing that. So why is the pomegranate considered to be juice with this? All right. And any questions, comments, thoughts that we did so far? Very good.
It's quite Karen, with vegetables, the fruit or trees.
So you have the grapes and then vegetables.
Lemons? I thought it's trees.
No, we said it was vegetables. We just had that. It's vegetables, as far as I'm aware. Okay. Yeah, what's up, Malka? Malka?
Can we squeeze lemons?
So there's a whole tumult about lemons. I have to look up again. I think it depends. I think it comes out of, like, you're squeezing the lemon on a fish. I think that comes out to be more, you know, like, I didn't look it up recently, but I think lemon on fish is like you're using it as a food, like a condiment for the food. And I think then it comes out to be, I think, permissible, but I need to look it up. And
what about in tea? That's not food. That's all.
I need to review this whole thing. I need to review it. Okay, but you're on the right track. You're on the right track with the right.
I question. Think on solid is okay. On liquid is not.
On liquid is not okay. Okay, so let's take a look. You know what? Let me get a few lines. And maybe I have one of the books here, and I'll take a look. Okay, so he says here. So the Gemara says Ela Hainu Taima Kidrav Chista. So the Gemara says now again we're trying to figure out if you remember. On line 8, Rav Nachman said the halakha was like Shel Beit Menashe, Bar Menachem. So we said it's like one person. How could be kubay the whole halakha? So now the Gemara is going to give a hesber what Rav Nachman meant. Ela haynu tamak kidrav chista. The Amar Rav Chista tradin shchatan atan b'mikvah poslan b'mikvah b'shinui mare. That if I squeeze beets out. And then I take the beet juice and I put it in the mikveh and it changes the color of the mikveh, I passel the mikveh. Now, normally, to passel the mikveh, I need something which is a mashke. Here, the beet juice is not considered to be a mashke. And nevertheless, it passels the mikveh. He says, v'hala b'nei schitan inu. It's not something that a person normally squeezes the beets. He says, ela ma'it lach l'meimar, kemendach shavinu, habul hu mashke. In other words, since he was machshavit, he's squeezing it. He's deciding, as far as I'm concerned, this is has a chashivus to it. So it rises. It has greater koach. So he says here. He says hachanami came achshuna habalu mashke. So the idea is that the way this malach is going, that when I squeeze a fruit for the beverage, that automatically makes it a mashke and is prohibited. So what it really comes out is in the Brisa, the way the Gemara is understanding, the Brisa at the top of the Amud, when it says you could squeeze those different fruit, the way we're going now, I could squeeze that fruit if I'm not squeezing it for the juice, I'm squeezing it just to make the fruit sweeter. Apparently when you squeeze out the juice, the fruit is sweeter. So if I'm squeezing out the fruit to make the fruit sweeter, I could do with that. That's the way it's coming out. But with the pomegranates, I'm squeezing out the pomegranate because I want the juice. So then that's prohibited. So it's just saying that this Beit Menashe Bar Menachem is just an example of a family that would squeeze it out for the juice. But any fruit, now we're saying any fruit that I squeeze for the juice itself, then that's machshiv the juice and that's prohibited. But if I'm squeezing it out to make the fruit sweeter, that's permissible. That's what we think the pshat is. All right? Now, the Gemara says, on the third line, Rav Papa Amar. Now, Rav Papa is explaining Rav Chista's din by the mikveh. So we borrowed an idea from Rav Chista. What we thought is Rav Chista, that the fact that you're machshiv it, that the beet juice, you're machshiv as a type of juice, so it has a koach to pass the mikveh. So Rav Papa Amar, Mishum de Dvavar, She'eno Simenu Mikveh Lechachila. Rav Papa says, no, the mikveh, it's not a mashke there with the tradin, and that whole answer is by the wayside. The reason the mikveh is pasul, because I can't make a mikveh out of beet juice. Bechol davar she'enosim menu mikveh lechachila posel a mikveh b'shinui mare. He says it doesn't have to be a mashke to pasul a mikveh. Anything that I couldn't make a mikveh out of to begin with, and shinui mare does it. So there's a machloket here.
Like ink or something.
What did you say? Ink, you said? Yeah, yes. Ink? Yeah. So the Gemara is saying we have the tradin, which is the beet juice. So we have a machloket, is the beet juice considered a mashke or not a mashke? So the first way we're saying it is considered to be a mashke because I'm machshivit, so it's a mashke, and maybe it has a koach to pasul mikveh as a mashke. The second way is saying, no, it's something that I can't build a mikveh out of, and that even though it's not a mashke, it pasuls the mikveh. Now, the Gemara brings down a similar machloket. This is on line 5, the fifth wide line. So Tanana Tam, we learn the Mishnah Masechet Mikvaot, Nafa Latochu Yayin O Chometz Umochel. If an existing mikveh, wine fell into it, or vinegar, or mochel. Mochel is like this oil, water oil. So when they have the olives, see, the olives go through different stages. The initial stage, the olive emits like a liquid, but it's not like oil. It's like a watery type of oil. Then it stays in the vat longer, and it emits like a second type, which is more oily, but not yet oil. And then it goes further on. Eventually, it gets to the point where the oil comes out of it. So this is like the first stage. So it's like a watery, very watery oil. So he says, so the mochel, b'shina marav, and it changed the appearance of the mikveh, pasul. So it's pasul. That's the Mishnah. So man tana de mochel mashkehu. So the Gemara says, who's the tana that mochel is a mashke? The Gemara takes it that in order to pass the mikvah, it has to be a mashke. That's the way the Gemara takes it. So who's the one who holds the mashke? So Amar Abaye, Reb Yaakov he. So Abaye says, Reb Yaakov, the tanya, Reb Yaakov Amer, mochel hareu kamashke. Mochel is like a mashke, he says. He says, umatam amru mochel hayotze b'tchila tahor. Why did they say that the mochel that comes out initially is tahor, lefisha ena rotze b'kiyumo. In other words, because the person doesn't want it. In other words, so there was a halacha that which emits is tahor, it's not makabel tuma, because I don't want it. But really, it is a mashke, and it is capable of passing the mikvah. And now, the second opinion, Reb Shimon Omer, mochel ainu kamashke. Mochel is not a mashke. Umatamaru mochel hayotze mi'ikul beit abad tame. Why did they say that the mochel, that's a later stage when it's a netting, that it's tame? Lefisha iyev sharlo below tzichsuche shemen. Because it's impossible that some real bona fide oil is not in it. So the basic idea, we're talking about mochel. Mochel is like this watery oil that comes from the olive. So there's a machloket, is this a mashke or not a mashke? The first opinion holds it's a mashke, and mamela it can pass the mikvah. And the second opinion holds it's not a mashke. So my beinaihu, what's the nafkamina between the two shitot? One second. Now, we said, one second. Now, he says, both agree that it's not susceptible to tumah when it first comes out of the olive. Both agree with that. So the Gemara says, "My benai, what's the nafkamina between the two shita, whether it's a mashke or not?" Iki benai da'ati batar itzatzto. So the nafkamina will be that the oil, the olive water, he says, that comes out after the pressure of olives upon one another. All the olives are in a vat, and then eventually they press against one another and it comes out. So he says, not actual oil, but it's something that's desirable. So again, according to Reb Yaakov, here, you know, Amrotza b'kiyumo, so it's mekabel tuma. But according to Reb Shimon, it's not a mashke. According to Reb Shimon, it's not a mashke. Yeah. So if Amrotza b'kiyumo, then it would be a mashke, otherwise not. All right, let me just do two more lines. I'll do the best I can. Rava Amar, Mishum Davi Devar Shein Osin Emino Mikvah Uposel Emino Mikvah Mishun Rimara. It's something that you don't make a mikvah, so possible Mishun Rimara. Okay, let me go back. So we're talking about here the status of mochel. Mochel is like this watery oil that comes out of the olive. And it's similar to what we spoke about before from the juice from the tradin, from the beet juice. So just like before with the beet juice, we had a machloket, is it a mashke or not a mashke? So too here, the same thing with this watery oil, is it a mashke or not a mashke? Now, they both agree it is subject to tuma. So Rabbi Yaakov holds it's like a mashke, and he says, why did they say initially it's tahor? Because it's ena rotza b'kiyumo, you don't want it. And Reb Shimon says, it's not a mashke, and so it's not a mashke, so why do they say it's tameh? Because you have a drop of oil with it. So what's the nafkamina? They both agree that it is, they both agree, one second. They both agree that it's not susceptible to tumah when it comes out. That's what he says here, my benayhu. Yeah, in other words, they both agree that the olive water that comes out at the beginning is not susceptible to tumah, but the oil that comes out from the netting is. In other words, the later stage. So the initial stage fluid is not subject to tumah. The later stage fluid is subject to tumah. They both agree on that. So what's the nafkamina between the two of them? So we said, the ati batar itzatzta, that which comes from the pressure of the olives. It's not actual oil, he says, but it's something that it's desirable to the owner. So Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon disagree as to whether it has the beverage status, the mashke status. So it sounds like that Rabbi Yaakov would say it is a mashke and the other one not a mashke. And then Rabbi says it's something that you wouldn't make a mikvah, passes the mikvah b'shinui marim. That's the best they have on this. Any questions? These are the best they could. Okay, let me go further.
Can a mikvah be made of anything else besides water? Everything else you put in, it's
it has to be water. No, it has to be It has to be water, but the question is, certain things, when I put it in, if it changes the color of the mikveh, will passel the mikveh. So that's the issue with it. So the earlier we thought it has to be a mashke in order to do that, but then the Gemara has some opinions that even if it's not a mashke, it could passel the mikveh. That's the way it came
out. No, but he's asking if, like, let's say you add weak chicken soup and it doesn't change the color.
You mean, so the water, the mikveh looks the same as water as before?
Right.
Yeah, so then you're fine.
You're okay.
You're kind.
But you need 40 saw, right?
40 saws gets the mikveh working, right? Of
right.
water.
So you have to, if you spill in chicken soup, it would have to be above the 40 saw?
Right, right.
Okay, so if it was 39 water and one chicken soup and it looks the same, it's no good, right?
That's right.
Okay.
All right. All right. Let me see the best. Now, all right. Now, okay, so we're six lines from the bottom. I'm Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel. So chidata mishkol shel anavim l'tocha k'dei rabolo l'tocha ka'ara. So Shmuel says a person can squeeze a cluster of grapes into a kadeira. Kadeira is a pot of food, but not into a ka'ara, bowl. So it gets into the issue, do I want it for food or I want it for mashke? He says, I'm Rav Chista, midiv Rabbeinu Nilmad. So Rav Chista says, from Shmuel, we can extrapolate, chole v'dam eiz l'tocha k'deira. A person could milk a goat if the milk is going into the kedera with the pot of food. He says, avolo lo tocha ka'ara, but not into like the bowl where a liquid would go. So the Gemara says, amak savar mashke habala ochel ochel hu. So it sounds like he holds that it's a mashke which is coming into food is considered food, is considered food. So, all right, so let's say a minute.
That's like the lemon and the fish.
Yeah. So it means like this. Like the grape, I started off, the grape is food. So I could take the juice and put it into food. In other words, I'm doing food to food. But once I do it for liquid, so that then it becomes a din and dash. Then I'm extracting the liquid out. In other words, if I'm defining the liquid as a food, then I'm okay. The liquid came out, but I'm using it to add as a food. So liquid is really food. So I have ochel, ochel. Ochel from ochel is fine. But if which is being extracted is a mashke, so now a mashke was extracted from the ochel. So then I'm chayav from melech of dash. That's the way it sounds like. And he says with the... now, let's just see here. One second. Okay, 1 second. Yeah, he says, this is in footnote 35. Rav Chista rules that just as when one squeezes grapes into food, the squeezing is considered food, so too with regard to milking into food. The milk is not deemed a beverage, but a food. When it milks into food, is merely so it's food to food. So the goat is walking food, and then the food goes into the food. That's what it sounds like. Okay, Mativ Rami Barchama, Zav Shecholei V'ra'ez. Now, let's say you have a person who's a Zav, and he's milking a goat. Hachalav Tamei. So the milk is tame. The milk is tame. V'yamrit mashke abal la'ochlin ochelhu. If I say, now it says that the zav is milking the goat, and it doesn't qualify it that it's kedera or ka'ara, whether it's into a bowl or a pot of food. So it could be that I'm milking the goat and the milk is going directly into a pot of food. And nevertheless, and then that means it's food to food. It's a food item going into food. And nevertheless, the Gemara says that it becomes tame. He says, "V'yamri mashka bala ochlin ochelhu, but my it kasher. Where was the? One of the machshirim has to be on the milk. What machshir was on it that it could be mekabel tuma? We said the zav is milking the goat, and the milk now becomes tamei. But the milk we're treating as food. But for the food to become tamei, it has to have one of the machshirim on it. So what machshir did it have on it? So the Gemara says, 'Ki da'amr of Yochanan b'tipam luchleket al piyadad.' So Rabbi Yochanan says in a different halacha." That a woman will like smear like the first drop of milk on her nipple in order to make the flow to go a little easier, but she wants that milk to be there. So he says, "Hachanami b'tipam luchleket al piyadad." Here too with the goat, do the same thing. So they're taping that first drop of milk and smearing the nipple or the udder, and mamela, and that's the machshirim for that, and that's why everything becomes tamei. Okay, Mativ Ravina. Ravina poses the following question. Listen, I'm going to do a few more lines. I got bad news for you. I don't think I'm going to do the daf tomorrow. I'm so sorry. I just don't have time to prepare this daf. It's just the thing's doing, and I don't have to give the daf to you earlier, so I can't give the daf tomorrow. I normally don't give it on Erev Tisha B'Av. This is the, you know, with this COVID protocol, things have changed a little bit, but I'm not planning to give tomorrow. All right, let me do a few more lines, and we'll see how we do. Okay. Otherwise, Bli Neder, I'll see you on Sunday at 10 a.m. Because, Wednesday and Thursday is Tisha B'Av. There is a daf for Tisha B'Av, but you can't study on Tisha B'Av. But I told you, Rav Konigsberg said it's like to teach you that, you know, sometimes you have a very good reason why you can't learn on a given day, but Mamili, you still have to make it up. You still have to make it up. So that's it. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Mativ Ravina, Tmei Mech, Sakat Zeitim Vanavim. If a person was, he's a Tmei Mech. He's a Rishon LeTumah. He came into contact with a person who was a dead person. And now, so he's an Avatumah, Shesachat Zeitim Vanavim. He's squeezing the olives and the grapes. Now, let's see, turn on the next line, top line, Kuf Mehem and Aleph. Kibetza mechuvenet. Now, the anavim and the zaitim are exactly the size of a beitza. So the size of a beitza, that's the minimum, you know, transmittable sign for tuma. So tahor. So the Gemara says that the liquid that's extracted will not become tame, because as soon as it's squeezed, so the fruit becomes less than the size of an egg, and fruit less than the size of an egg cannot generate tuma. So in other words, it can't give off tuma to, it sounds like, to the juice that's being extracted. That's what it sounds like. So let's take a look. It says, Kibetza mechuvenet tahor, hayoter mikibetza tame. So if it's larger than a beitza, it would be tame. V'yamrit mashke habala ochel ochel hu. If you say mashke, which is going into food, is a food, v'mayit kasher. So again, the question is, like, what was the machshir for this, the zeitim and the navim? So the Gemara is humoti blab humafarik law. He asked the question. He answered it. B'sochet l'tocha ka'ara. It's talking about where you sochet into like a bowl. So it's for juices. So mela, juices don't require machshirim. All right. Let me just check in the other book about the lemon and the other stuff. One second. Okay, Michael, we're on Kuf Mem Hey, I'm on Aleph. We finished the daf already today. It was difficult daf. All right, one second. Let me just see if he's got here about the lemons. One second. Lemon. Squeezing. Okay, 122. All right. All right, here's what he says. Yeah, he says the rabbinic prohibition on squeezing liquids from a food applies only when one's intention is to procure liquid. It's supposed to squeeze out a food in order to enhance its flavor. Okay, fine. You could squeeze out the excess oil out of a can of tuna. Then he says there are circumstances when one is prepared to squeeze out liquid from a food, even when one's intention is to procure liquid. Oh, one sentence. He says one may squeeze lemon juice directly onto fish as flavoring. He says one may not squeeze lemon juice into tea. However, when we squeeze the juice onto a spoonful of sugar, provided that most of the juice is absorbed by the sugar. So he says, so the lemon juice can be squeezed directly onto fish, but I can't squeeze the lemon juice directly into the tea. All right, that's what he's got here.
That's what he said.
That's what Yosef said. So Yosef's got it. All right. Listen, I think that's going to be it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Now, again, so I won't see you tomorrow or Tisha B'Av. I wish everybody a meaningful fast. And then Bli Neder, I'll see you on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Okay, and learning was Lilu Neshama of Yosef's grandfather, Aaron ben Shlomo.
Shlomo ben Meir.
Shlomo ben Meir is the Zichrono Lebracha. Okay, I'll see you.
Yushkoch, thank you.
Okay, let me end the tape. Let me end the tape.